Valerie Plame is known widely as the key player in the real-life drama of a CIA covert operative whose cover was intentionally exposed by members of the Bush administration in 2003. The episode garnered worldwide headlines and effectively ended Plame's career as an undercover agent. Author of the New York Times bestseller Fair Game, which told the story of the events leading up to her resignation from the CIA, Plame has turned her sights and field experience to fiction. With the new novel Blowback, Plame and her co-author suspense writer Sarah Lovett have penned a thriller featuring undercover CIA agent Vanessa Pearson. Like her fictional Vanessa Pearson, co-author Valerie Plame was an undercover operative in the CIA's counter-proliferation division. It is a great pleasure to welcome Valerie Plame back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us once again. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
It is very nice to have you here. At what point did this come on your radar of something that you wanted to do?
I was recovering from Fair Game, which there was a book and then there was a movie, and it was really more of a catharsis. And my publisher, who had been with me, moved over to Penguin and had a new imprint, Blue Rider Press, and he's the one who suggested, hey, how about doing a spy thriller? And it was very appealing to me because I get sick and tired of how girls, females, are portrayed in the CIA. It's so thin. It's cardboard characters. So I wanted to make a much more realistic female protagonist, but entertaining as well.
So, in talking about our understanding of women in the CIA and the misunderstanding, I guess a lot of that comes from just not knowing a whole hell of a lot about the CIA, right? I mean, a lot of it's secrets, so we don't know.
So popular culture steps in, and there's a lot of sex and a lot of guns, both of which are fine, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's terribly realistic. And Vanessa Pearson, who is the heroine, the central character of Blowback, she I care a lot about getting the spy tradecraft correct. The locations that it mentioned, I've been to around the world. I've been to, worked in, traveled through, lived in, and the whole central premise, which is she is going after a secret and still quite yet undiscovered secret Iranian nuclear program, that, of course, is very topical these days.
Absolutely. We'll get into that in just a moment. But when you talk about, and you write about this in the novel, of how Vanessa gets to be a part of the CIA, and for you, the career track was what?
Well, I can't say I grew up thinking that I thought espionage was a was a career option, but really, maybe as corny as it sounds, I come from a family where public service was considered to be really something to aspire to. My father fought in World War II; he was an Air Force officer. My brother served and was wounded in Vietnam as a Marine, and my mother was a public school teacher. So when I was given this opportunity to join the CIA, and I thought, the government's going to pay me to live and work overseas and do something that sounded really interesting, and I was so honored, and I love my career.
Is it hard to parse out any bitterness, given especially that you wrote about in Fair Game, but your cover's blown, you've worked so hard for so long, and all of that goes up in smoke, and you have to come up with a new life. Mm-hmm. So I assume, and I certainly got the sense in reading the novel, that you are able to look at the work that you did in the CIA versus those often who are you are working for.
First of all, I'll say it's been 10 years, hard to believe, since my covert CIA identity was betrayed. So it's been a long, strange trip. In 2007, my family and I moved from Washington, D.C. to New Mexico, which was really important to our well-being. and we've worked really hard at rebuilding our lives personally and professionally. When I working for the CIA, there's plenty of things you can criticize and that are deeply wrong. But at the same time, my focus was on counterproliferation of the nuclear sort, and I don't think there is any other organization that is as well equipped as the CIA to go after this, because I think this that nexus of terrorism and nuclear weapons is the number one national security threat.
When you read a story like the president having the conversation that he had with the Iranian president this week, what do you make of that?
Between Obama and Rouhani?
Yes.
Oh, I am encouraged. Of course, anytime there is diplomatic overtures and communication, especially in the case of Iran, we haven't spoken to them at this level since 1979. And we all know how if you don't speak with a friend for some months or even some years, the misperceptions and miscommunication can easily aggregate. So the fact that Rouhani has made some more moderate gestures, and you know, I love that he tweeted "Happy Rosh Hashanah" to my Jewish friends. I mean, this is not the guy we had before, Ahmadinejad. So, anytime it provides time and space for negotiations to take place versus military action, I'm in favor of it. And we shall see, trust but verify, as President Reagan famously said, but I am encouraged.
When you look to explain to people the importance of the work that you did and the importance of that work overall for this country, obviously that's a message of the novel and something that you want to get out. How do you put that in a nutshell of the men and women who are on the ground doing that work?
Well, I will tell you that when I speak to universities, young people, I always encourage them to consider public service. How all the challenges we face, we really need the best and the brightest who are considering this as a career option, and to keep our democracy healthy. And right now, it doesn't appear to be in particularly good health with the government shutdown. But this is what we have, and we have to be engaged. I get really discouraged, and then I always enjoy Winston Churchill's comment about democracy, which is the worst form of government ever tried, we've ever had, except for all the others that have been tried.
You talked about moving to New Mexico and 10 years ago and starting this new life, and yet a lot of your work has to do with counterproliferation. And so where are we right now? Because there it seems as though it's still pretty scary.
It is pretty scary, but I have, for me, it's something I care about passionately, and I am deeply engaged in a group, international group called Global Zero.
Yep.
What I love about it is it's brought people truly from all over the world, from the big names of Gorbachev and Tony Blair and Musharraf and George Shultz and Queen Noor, and Michael Douglas has done a lot, and then down through generals and politicians and diplomats and students, all saying we have gotten extraordinarily lucky over the last half a century, and it will not continue. We must continue to work toward reducing our nuclear arsenals. These are weapons that, they're so Cold War. They no longer keep us safe. And in fact, that with the spread of nuclear technology and the rise of terrorism, In fact, it is more dangerous than ever. Although we have far fewer nuclear weapons now, maybe about approximately 15,000 in the world, as opposed to at the height of the Cold War, 70,000, it is a far more dangerous time because of the number of nuclear armed countries has increased.
When you write something like this novel, how much, I mean, do you just internally know what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say as a former CIA agent?
Or sure.
Is it something that still needs to be vetted?
It does need to be vetted, but I am very cognizant of what is classified information and what would reveal sources and methods. I would never jeopardize anything like that. But, of course, I'm obligated, and I do have it reviewed by the CIA. And happily, in Blowback, while it is fiction, it is informed by my experiences, but they did not redact anything, happily.
You don't have those black marks.
No black lines.
That's very nice. And so this will be a series. This is some job security.
Hey, yeah, I do a lot of things, not least of which driving my 13-year-old twins around to 101 activities a day.
The most important of all those, yes.
But I am delighted. It has gotten off to a great start. We've gotten some really great reviews. Sarah Lovett, my co-author, and I are on hard at work on our second one, which I really believe will be even better. So I have my fingers crossed that there is a good niche for this, and people find it entertaining, but as I said, more realistic.
When you live this stuff, do you like to read this stuff, or does it just annoy you because it's not accurate?
I am a voracious reader. I'll read the back of a cereal box. I read everything, fiction, non. I tend actually to prefer nonfiction. But in the thriller genre, I love Le Carré, Ian Fleming, fun.
The good
but
stuff.
But if it's, call me linear, but if I cannot, maybe because I was served in the CIA, if it just is so far out there, I just lose interest.
The name of the book is Blowback. It is written with Sarah Lovett, and it is published by Blue Rider Press. Valerie Plame, a great pleasure to have you on the program once again. Best of luck in all your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.